As our Lord cures the deaf and dumb man, he charges him not to publish it. But the more that our Lord charged him not to publish it, so the more was it spread around, and Christ was glorified. We owe honor and adoration to God. Let me explain a story. Let me give a story in order to explain this point. In 1808, Haydn, the famous Austrian musical composer, was in the Music Hall of Vienna in a wheelchair, attending the orchestra and chorus of one of his own works, the celebrated musical production called Creation. Let us read the account as Father Tone gives it. Each note, each line of the performance raised the audience to new heights of enthusiasm. Finally came the brilliant passage with the words, and there was light. The chorus and orchestra burst forth in full power. The breathless audience was keyed to the highest pitch by the presence of the author himself. No longer could the people restrain themselves. In the midst of the music, the throng jumped to its feet and burst into rapturous applause. The aged composer struggled to a standing position and motioned for silence. He lifted his shaky hand high up towards the heavens and cried out with all his strength, "No, no, not from me, but from thence comes all." Weak and exhausted, he fell back into his chair. He was satisfied, however. He had given the glory and credit to God. He was taken from the hall through the lines of moistened eyes and admiring hearts. From thence comes all. Would that every one of us had the intelligence to realize that everything comes from God. Then would we worship God with every power we have. Then would we keep the first commandment, which requires that we worship the Lord. We naturally respect any person who is superior to us. We might look upon someone who is greater than us in power, experience, knowledge, or virtue. We show honor to kings and presidents. We show respect for the learning of scientists and teachers. And we admire anyone who is virtuous. Now God is superior in every respect. And God is infinitely superior. Therefore, we owe respect to God. And the respect that we owe to God is greater than the respect that we owe to any person. The respect that we owe to God is called adoration or worship. There are so many evils in our society today which come from one terrible flaw in our modern world. The terrible flaw in modern society is that we live in a godless age. Many people give lip service to God. They will say, "God bless," because it is the socially acceptable thing to say. But then they live as if there is no God. And so this is one reason why I say that our society is godless. Our society is godless because our society allows laws that are immoral. And so society lives as if there is no God. And after all, for some 50 years, our society has embraced the teaching of evolution. The universe supposedly started by the Big Bang theory. All plant and animal life started from non-living matter. And finally, man evolved from lower life animal life form. It all amounts to a denial of God. Is it any wonder that our society embraces immoral laws? Because if there is no God, then man may choose how he wishes to live. There is no longer any rule of what is right or wrong. Reason tells us that God must exist. The universe could not have come into existence by itself. The first plant and animal life could not have come merely from non-living matter. And man, having a spiritual soul, could not have come from an animal. What is spiritual can only come from God, because God is a pure spirit, and God alone is eternal. God is all-powerful. God created the universe and all that is in it. God therefore established the laws of nature whereby all of his creation is governed. There is order in nature because God has fixed certain laws for all of his creation. If we place our trust in God and live virtuously, God will watch over us. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead rise, the poor have the gospel preached to them. We continue reading from St. Matthew and also from St. John with the Apocalypse. When we consider how good God is in himself and how good he is to us, we cry out, "Worthy art thou, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and because of thy will they existed and were created." And so we must adore God. Reason tells us that God exists and that God has created us. We are creatures of God, and so we owe adoration to God. But how do we adore God? To adore means to admit in our hearts and in our actions that God is supreme. Adoration includes the idea that without God, we are miserable and helpless. We adore God interiorly and exteriorly. By faith, we accept everything he has made known to us. By hope, we expect from him all good things. By charity, we love him above all things. Exteriorly, we adore God by prayer, sacrifice, genuflections, folding of hands, striking the breast, and bowing the head. These movements of the body express what is in the soul. You have done these very things this morning. You genuflected, made the sign of the cross, folded your hands, bowed your heads. You know that Almighty God is present upon the altar. We have so many ways to physically show adoration to God by kneeling, making the sign of the cross, using holy water when we come into the church, bowing the head during certain prayers at Mass, and especially during the consecrations. All these are exterior devotions. And these exterior devotions help us to have interior devotion. The best way to pray is with folded hands and bowing the head. The words of our prayers tell the feelings in our soul. So also, our folded hands and bowed head show, in an exterior way, our interior adoration of God. Since God has created us, God has a right to our worship. This is why the very first commandment instructs us of our duties of adoring God. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not have strange gods before me. God has created us to be happy with him in heaven. We must then hope that God will give us all the graces necessary in order to attain our eternal salvation. But we must also not presume upon God's mercy. It would be wrong for someone to go on living in sin, imagining, oh, God will forgive me in the end. The story is told how St. Thomas More, the Chancellor of England, tried to convince a foolish friend to stop living in sin. Oh, don't trouble yourself about me, answered the fool. You see, I have three words that will secure me the pardon of God at the moment of danger of death. The foolish sinner explained that at the moment of death, he would say, Lord, forgive me. And so, with these words, his sins would be forgiven and he would be saved. Of course, this is the sin of presumption. We must not continue on in sin while assuring ourselves that God will forgive us. St. Thomas More tried in vain to help his friend realize that he must repent and do penance if he expected God to forgive him. The foolish sinner went on in his sins. One day he was riding on horseback across a bridge. The horse became startled and leapt over the railing of the bridge. The man, along with the horse, died in the raging rapids of the river. But what were his last words? Were his last words, God, forgive me? Well, in fact, there were people nearby who heard his last words. But unfortunately, his last few words were not a plea for God's mercy, but a curse for his bad fortune. How true it is that the way a person lives determines how he will die. Since the man of this story lived in his sins, so also he died in his sins. That man had committed a sin against the first commandment, the sin of presumption. He had rashly and foolishly counted on the mercy of God without taking any steps to win that mercy. That is the sin of those who keep on sinning in rash hope of repenting at the last minute. The sin of those who pray now and then, but don't back up their prayers with a better life. The sin of those who trust in their own strength to do God's will. The opposite sin is despair, committed by those who give up hope of salvation, who limit the mercy of God and say, "What's the use?" True hope leads us to think deeply on the mercy of God and at the same time to strive humbly and prayerfully to do God's will. These are the two very grave sins against the first commandment, presumption and despair. There are other sins against the first commandment. These sins are neglecting to pray, neglecting to adore and worship God, neglecting to learn about our Catholic religion, and in general, neglecting our religious duties. A man who is careless about receiving the sacraments, about attending Mass, about morning and evening prayers, is not keeping God's command to worship Him. Another sin against the first commandment would be to read books against the teachings of the Catholic faith. It is also sinful to read immoral books. Parents are obliged to teach their children the faith. Another sin against the first commandment would be to attend a non-Catholic church service. One may attend a wedding or funeral of a family member or a friend. And why is it a sin to attend a non-Catholic service? Because every other religion outside the Catholic Church denies one or another of the things that Jesus taught, and in many cases teaches things which Jesus did not teach. To join in their prayers, to sing their songs, even merely to be present at their meetings, is an expression of approval of these errors. You are also exposed to false explanations of Scripture. Still, other sins against the first commandment are superstition, spiritualism, or communication with the dead, fortune tellers, charms, omens, believing in dreams, and taking of unnecessary oaths. The wrong of all these practices is that they take away something that belongs to God. God will take care of us. Be reasonable. Use your common sense, aided by the goodness of God, who will bless, who will be with you if you ask Him. Today, we will resolve to keep this first of God's laws as fully and faithfully as we can. With God's grace, we can do what God wants, especially when we ask God's help in the name of Jesus, the Holy Name. That name will bring us help. In the sweet and strong name of Jesus, may we always remember that the Lord is our God, the giver of our faith, and may we always live according to that faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.